In a dual biography covering the last 10 years of the lives of friends and contemporaries, writer Samuel Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain, and statesman John Hay, who served as Secretary of State under Presidents William McKinley and Theodore Roosevelt, the new book, The Statesman and the Storyteller, not only provides a look into the daily lives of these men, but also creates a portrait of the United States on the verge of emerging as a world power. The name of the book is The Statesman and the Storyteller, John Hay, Mark Twain, and the Rise of American Imperialism. Mark Zwanitzer is a biographer and historian, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Mark, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Let us talk about how you came to this story. Did you come at it looking at John Hay or Mark Twain or both?
I really started with John Hay, and I started with the idea that I wanted to do a book about this particular time period because it's a time period where I felt like habits of conduct and habits of thought in our foreign policy began to be formed, and they have echoes down through to today. And Hay was the perfect vehicle to do that because not only had he been ambassador to Great Britain and Secretary of State in these momentous years, but he was a fantastic observer. He wrote every day. He kept diaries. And he was just the perfect man through which to tell the story. The deeper I got into reading about him, the more this other figure kept popping up, Sam Clemens. And it allowed me to tell the story through two very different perspectives. And I felt like the whole became greater than the sum of the parts.
It would seem to me, as a biographer, that when you find out that you want to do the book about these two men, and then find out that they have so much in common, they were born so close to each other, and then ultimately their paths didn't cross till many, many, many years later, that's all really good fodder.
Yeah, and it wasn't that they were incredibly intimate friends, and the part of the shame of their friendship is that they weren't closer. I think part of we would have been a better country had John Hay been a little more attuned to the way Sam Clemens was thinking in those days, but they did they were close in the sense that they had great admiration and respect for one another and for the work each did. They were bound by this common boyhood and this common place, and oddly, at the end of their lives, despite the fact that they differed on the big political issues of the day, they seemed to draw closer, and partly because they were each touched by personal tragedy.
Let us talk a little bit about John Hay. Served as Secretary of State under Presidents William McKinley and Theodore Roosevelt, and basically thought of as one of the most accomplished secretaries of state in U.S. history, certainly the longest serving. Tell us a little bit about him and the ultimate point that you wanted readers to get about this man.
Yeah, well, John Hay was a fascinating person, in part because he also served as private secretary to Abraham Lincoln when he was just, you know, in his early 20s. And so Hay saw up close the burdens of the presidency. He understood he watched Abraham Lincoln in the presidency as the nation was crumbling at his feet. And I think he took away from that the idea that the best service he could give a president was to take some burden off of him. He wasn't a policy maker as much as he was an implementer and a man who was trying to bolster William McKinley and Theodore Roosevelt, and he was a man of a great deal of personal honor, and I think in at least one instance at the end of his life he ended up doing something in service to a president that he might have judged to be on the edge of dishonorable.
Also, there is a point, you're basically looking at the last 10 years of their lives, and Mark Twain is at an interesting point. He's very successful, but yet he has great personal debt.
Yeah, at the start of the book, he is in debt in terms of our dollars, something like $2.5 million in debt, and he has to go around the world on this lecture tour to try to be able to pay off his creditors. And he, of course, as he always does, he makes a big public display of it, so the entire world is watching him as he calls himself the world's most famous bankrupt. But he does remarkably manage to pay off his debts, and more than that, he ends up with piling up a good bit of money by the end of his life that he's able to pass down to his lone surviving daughter, which was very important to him to be able to do. That was the tension in the time period I'm dealing with was, he felt obligated to build his estate for his daughters. At the same time, he wanted to speak out against what was happening in the world and what he saw as some big missteps by the United States government at that point in time, which he knew might cost him some of his bread and butter, as he said.
We'll be talking more about that tour later on. But so you have these two characters. You have these two men. Tell us about the time and what was going on and why they were so important in what they were saying and doing.
Well, this was the moment when the United States of America really stepped onto the world stage as a world power. We jumped the traces of our own, our own continent and ended up spreading out into the Pacific and into the Caribbean. And it was really the Spanish-American War, where by the end of that war, we ended up with Cuba and Puerto Rico and Hawaii and Guam and the Philippines, most importantly to my story. And Hay was a part of the expansion. And Hay, the McKinley administration went into it with the best of intentions. We're going to liberate the Cuban people and the Filipinos from Spanish misrule. And I think they tripped up a little bit at that point. And the worst case was the Philippines, where the Filipino rebels had been our allies in the war against Spain. And we ended up refusing to give them their independence and their freedom. And it turned into a fight between the Filipino revolutionaries and the U.S. occupying forces. It was really a very ugly war that presaged, the counterinsurgency wars like Iraq that we've seen recently, and all the horror and tragedy, and right down to the waterboarding happened in the Philippines long before. And Sam Clemens had actually been quite a proponent of the war early on, when it looked like it was all about liberating these people. He actually said at one point, "I joined the fight myself if it weren't for the danger." But he ended up, once it became clear that what was happening in the Philippines, he became a very loud and very important voice against what was happening there.
So let us talk about how these two men met and what they agreed on and what they disagreed on.
Well, they met in the late 1860s, when Hay was already relatively famous as Lincoln's, one of Lincoln's private secretaries, and Clemens was making his name as Mark Twain. And they were young men on the move, and they were both great admirers of the other's work. Clemens actually gave credit to John Hay for really popularizing the Western vernacular in his Pike County ballads, it's poetry. And they actually were fairly close through the 1870s, and as they got married and had families and went on different paths, they sort of, their lives diverged, and they came back together much late. They always stayed in contact sort of through friends. But they were closer at the end of their lives than they had been in the middle.
As you point out in the book, Samuel Clemens was on the attack against American imperialism for a little more than 2 years, from the end of 1900 into 1903. And this was a time where he published, as you put it, some of his bravest essays.
Yeah, I think To the Person Sitting in Darkness is one of the great political and cultural essays of the 20th century, and it sort of rolled up into one big ball all the depredations in the world, including most famously the what was happening in the Philippines, and I think it was one of his bravest bravest essays. He also did an essay about Frederick Funston, who had captured the revolutionary leader in the Philippines, Emilio Aguinaldo. And it was really spectacular stuff and worth reading even today. But as he found out, as he learned, it didn't do a great deal of good. And he sort of retreated behind the ramparts of safety after a few short years. I think one of the points I hope people take away from this book is just how difficult dissent is in this country. Even well-reasoned, well-informed dissent is by the most famous and most popular voice in the land at that point in time, is as nothing against, you know, the United States when it's on the march, and particularly when the American military is in action.
As far as we've been talking about Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain's reaction to this, what was Hay's reaction, and how ultimately did he respond, or did he respond to what Twain was writing?
Well, John Hay was very clear in his own beliefs and ideals, and what John Hay believed was that the great future of the world depended on Republican governments, and by that I mean in the old world sense, free men of standing and of education and of property would be basically governing people. And he did believe this is the great hope of the world, and he believed you could spread republicanism around the world. And I think, again, part of this, for lack of a better term, imperialism was really with the best of intentions. And Hay didn't cavil much about what was going on in the world, as he called it. You don't stand up against what he called the cosmic tendency. That's where things were headed, and he sort of went with the tide. And he actually was confident enough in his own beliefs that, you know, he was not much moved or shaken by what Sam Clemens had to say. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think he paid a lot of attention to it, which I think again is part of the tragedy of this story. I mean, Sam Clemens knew the world like no other American did. Nobody had traveled the world like he did. Nobody had literally, you know, few people had literally circumnavigated the globe. And I think people would have been wise to listen to him a little bit more.
Normally, at this point in the interview, I will often ask, what do you hope readers get out of the book? You've already mentioned that you hope that they understand how difficult dissent is in this country. So the question I will instead ask is, what do you think it will take? And I know questions of prognostication to historians is usually verboten. However, what do you make of how we learn these lessons?
Well, I'm not sure we learn them very well. I mean, one of the problems in this time period I'm writing about is that a lot of the missteps were made on questions of race. We assumed in this country often the superiority of white civilization and what, you know, white supremacy almost. And it got us in big trouble in places like the Philippines and in Cuba. And I think that what I'm seeing lately is a lot of rhetoric and a lot of talk that's bringing back that kind of ugliness of race and separating people out by race. One of the things that Sam Clemens was very clear about was that, you know, there was one human race, and it was people with the same hopes and the same dreams and the same geniuses and the same shortcomings, no matter. I mean, that race was just an invention and a construct. And I think that some of the rhetoric in the recent political campaigns have sadly echo the time period I'm writing about, and not even with the subtlety that we're used to.
Yes, it's been anything but subtle. The name of the book is The Statesman and the Storyteller, John Hay, Mark Twain, and the Rise of American Imperialism. It is a fascinating volume. It is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. Mark Zwanitzer, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Joe. Have a good day.
And to you. Thank you very much. Okay. Again, the name of the book is The Statesman and the Storyteller by Mark Zwanitzer. We'll continue talking about Mark Twain after this short break.